we're all doing it. So this is just something I feel like we all need to acknowledge as, like, a human race. Mm. As, like, a uniting factor.
I love uniting factors.
Listen, everyone fucking shits their pants, like, at least once.
I mean, you know that I have. I can't speak I on have, everyone,
I shit
but,
a
like,
pair of leggings one time on the way to meet my boyfriend at the time, like, for the movies.
Oh,
and
God.
I called him, and I was like, I'm not coming. I can't. He was like, what's wrong with you? And then he was like, oh, my God, did you shit yourself? And I was like, we can't talk about this. Listen, guys, sometimes you have, like, you go through chemo and every medication you're on makes you constipated. And then when you come off that shit, you literally don't know how to control bowel movements. Like, if I have to go to the bathroom, like, at that point in my life, if I felt the need to go to the bathroom, I needed to already be in a bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It was terrible. So, listen, it's like, we all shit our pants. Like, if we could just acknowledge this, that everybody does it.
And then we could talk about it, and maybe it would be less horrible. And then you could text your friends and be like, I'm sorry, I shit my pants. I'm not coming.
Yeah. Then you could be like, I'm so sorry. I'm not coming. I shit myself.
And then we could start using it as a lie.
I felt this, like, recently in Chicago and, like, city living. Sometimes, like, if you're in, like, a residentially part, it's not like you can just, like, run into a, like, listen, there's not always a bodega.
There is not always a bodega.
There's oftentimes, but not always. And I was going to check on a friend's cat. And I was on the bus, and I don't know what it was. Something hit me like a ton of bricks, and I was like, oh, God. And
fuck.
I was like,
on a bus is so
I was
scary.
On a bus, and I was like, am I going to shit my pants on this bus? And then I was like, I need to get to this person's house. And I was like, how do I do this? How do I make this happen? And then I was like, And I, like, I had to, like, stand kind of by a tree for a minute to just, like, to muster through whatever, like, gastrointestinal shit. Right? Let it crawl back up.
And the pressure on, like, the back of your rectum or something, it can be so painful.
It can hurt. You can, like, if you really hold it for a while, sometimes you're like, am I getting nauseous now?
Oh,
like,
yeah. And then I worry about throwing up the diarrhea, but I don't think that could ever happen.
I don't think that could.
When I think about that.
Ew, I'm gonna have nightmares. What if I puked shit?
Do you remember in college, someone we knew would be like, I'm gonna sew your asshole shut and just keep feeding you and feeding you.
I thought you used to say that.
No, I maybe repeated it to you, but maybe it's from a movie or something, but that is what would happen.
Sew your asshole shut and just keep feeding you. And that
feeding
sounds,
you.
Honestly, oh that God. Sounds like hell.
It does indeed sound like hell. I have also shit my pants, just, you know, briefly I'll mention, because of the ulcerative colitis that I have. Sometimes if there's problems, there's just, like, horrible urgency and it's really painful and you shit yourself. But
Listen, shout out to those with colitis. Shout out to the cronies. Like, live your best lives.
Yes.
Sometimes you shit yourself.
And speaking of cronies, I wanted to give a shout out to a listener and my friend and coworker.
Love.
Who has a Crohn's issue, and we really bonded over that, and I love it. But I don't love that this person has Crohn's. But you know how I've been doing the, like, suppositories that my grandmother gave me that are THC infused.
Listen, sometimes you throw up, like, some, you know, suppositories up your anus. That
I've been calling them the beige bullets.
Oh, I like that name. That's, like, strong branding, honestly.
Thank you. Anyway, I gave her a couple of those for her intestinal issues. So we'll see how that goes. But if you're listening and you've already done them, I really hope that it was nice for you.
Listen, this is what I'm saying. The book from, like, childhood, Everybody Poops, I think we need the adult version that's just called Everybody Shits Their Pants.
Yeah. Or
listen,
everybody
shits their pants.
Gastrointestinal distress.
Everyone has gastrointestinal distress. That's the highbrow version. Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
We can't afford to be third wave about that, so whatever.
Jamie is, like, ready to do just, like, late night phone sex ads, and honestly, like, here for it.
That's good. You gaslight the teacher. Okay.
Who's participating in this study that's, like, here for, like, the $30 I, like, came in this cup so 30 different women could taste it? I'm like, who's that guy?
They're going to break your legs and feed you to the sharks.
This is what I want, because I assume these people get to have deep chats all the time together because they go to youth group. And I was like, I just want someone to talk to me, and I was just like...
Anal insertions aside.
I do believe in fairies. I do. Welcome to Why Are You Like This, the weekly podcast where we dissect what it's like to shit your leggings on the way to movies with loved
ones.
I'm
so sorry it was leggings.
It was like pushing shit through a screen door.
Oh,
anyway.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I apologize. But also, aside from shitting, sometimes we discuss parts of our culture, human behavior, not limited to shitting, but including shitting, you know, in order to determine why people wear, why they're the way that they are. Because sometimes it's because they shit their pants.
Yep. Or why they shit their pants.
Listen, that's Jamie Ryan with some pants shitting experience in Cincinnati.
And that's Austin Williams sharing her pants shitting experiences in Chicago.
Listen,
but I've shit my pants all around the world, truly.
I've shit my pants in more than one place. That's all I'm going to say.
But speaking of pants shitting, that is a pretty good segue into our topic today, since we're doing this recording, which feels
crazy. Oh, this is a special daytime recording coming at you live. What are you drinking in this daytime recording? Do you have a beverage?
I finished my cold brew, so I'm just doing water now, but I have truly quite a bit of energy, and because today's topic has conspiracy vibes for me, I do get a strange energy from that.
That feels right for you. I'm drinking a lime LaCroix, but I had several cups of coffee earlier.
I just really don't like LaCroix. I'm gonna go ahead and say it.
Nobody's forcing you
or something.
It's not for everyone. I hate ranch dressing. We're all out here with polarizing taste buds.
Listen to your body. You don't need ranch dressing. None of us need to have that.
I don't need ranch dressing. Blue cheese forever, though. Anyway.
So today, on this special daytime edition, which to you, if you're listening, makes absolutely no difference.
We don't care. Good evening, if that's what you're doing. We tell you whatever time of day it is, irrelevantly, every time.
We always do. But we will be talking about something that I have wanted to do since the conception of this podcast. And it will be...
I love those episodes.
I do, too. They're so satisfactory. So today we are talking about artificial sweetener and artificial fats.
Boom. Boom, boom. Yeah. Listen, potentially boom, boom. Potentially shitting.
Win-win?
Well, I think that remains to be seen.
It does indeed. So I would like to start with artificial sweeteners, and then later we will talk about Olestra and Olean, if you remember those from the 90s and early 2000s. But just to start off with some artificial remembrances, what do you think are the best and worst diet sodas from your lifetime so far? I have a list already, and so you might need to think about it for a second, but I have some strong opinions about this.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you two different answers, truthfully. I think that I love Diet Coke, and I know that it doesn't taste anything like regular Coke. They're two different sodas, but
you can't think that it's regular Coke. You have to accept it as a different beverage. Almond milk is a separate beverage from milk.
Yes, and I do view Diet Coke as its own soda, and I think it's probably my favorite diet soda, and I try to not keep it in the house because I will drink it. Yeah. But it is still the cure for my hangovers.
I had to go get you one in Chicago. I thought about that today.
Yeah, I was lightly hungover. You were like, I need cigarettes, and I was like, please bring me back a Diet Coke, and you did, and that was beautiful. It really is my healing tonic. But that's what it is. It is what it is, and it's not regular Coke, and I don't want it to be regular Coke. So that's my feelings on Diet Coke, which is probably my preferred soda of sodas when I'm drinking soda, which I try not to do. But
how do you feel about a Coke Zero? Because a lot of people who were former Diet Coke drinkers have switched.
Well, here's the thing, and I want to say this. It's I like Diet Coke. I'm not a huge Coca-Cola Classic person, but if I were somebody who drank Coke Classic and then switched to Diet Coke because I was trying to drink something more or less caloric, and then Coke Zero was invented, I understand the pivot. That makes sense to me.
I do too.
But I was never into regular Coke.
Yeah, the texture of Coke Zero, I think, is closer to regular Coke. But
I just don't drink Pepsi products. I can't.
I like Pepsi. I think
Pepsi makes my teeth feel weird.
It also gives me tooth grit, but I think it might taste better. I don't know.
I don't know. But if anyway, you want to hear my best answers. Dupe, though, so Diet Coke is my preferred soda, mm-hmm. but my best dupe of, like, I cannot tell the difference
yeah.
is obviously Diet Dr. Pepper. Diet Dr. Pepper is clutch. That is a great diet soda.
Really good. It's because
when people have
Diet
Dr. Pepper on the fountain, I'm like, what fancy ass place is this? Cracker Barrel looking at you. Okay.
Also, have complicated relationship with Chick-fil-A. They do have Diet Dr. Pepper on fountain.
Ugh, listen.
I know, we're constantly talking about Chick-fil-A. I can, like, see it from my house. It's always looming.
I never had a Chick-fil-A sandwich until I was 26, I think.
I think I'd only probably had one ever before that, because there just, like, weren't Chick-fil-A's around. I don't want to get derailed on Chick-fil-A, but it is a delicious homophobic place.
Yeah, it's super homophobic, but they make some decent fried chicken in a fast casual situation. All of that said, we can't get derailed on Chick-fil-A, because it is actually an entirely other episode.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, stay tuned. There might be an episode of Chick-fil-A down the pipeline. You don't know. But what are your preferred diet sodas? Take us on your sweet and low journey.
Ooh, that was... I applaud your pun. That the best diet soda, the best, like, mask, like, for, like, the regular, I think you're right, is Diet Dr. Pepper. But
yeah, you
I'm
can't
gonna
tell.
Shout
it's so
out
good.
Fresca.
Fresca is... It's always diet.
It's always diet. And almost,
oh,
I think that's part
of
its tomfoolery.
I didn't think about
that. Tomfoolery is like the grapefruit.
There's not a regular.
That, yeah, the grapefruit covers the aspartame, and there's no regular soda to compare it to.
I love Fresca.
It's
I didn't even
so
clock
good.
It because there's no diet preface to the title, but Fresca is incredible. It's
it
an
is.
Incredible soft drink, truly.
And it's not too sweet. Like it. It's just perfect. That's, I yeah. Other
it's,
than it being
truly
with poison, it is perfect.
It's perfect. Other than it might send you to an early grave, it's perfect.
Yes. Also, shout out to A&W Diet Root Beer.
Shout out. Diet Root Beer is usually pretty good.
Diet Root Beer is good. Again, similar to Dr. Pepper and Fresca, I think it's because there's, like, a weird flavor in there already.
Mm-hmm.
But on the bad side, I only have two things written down, and only one is a soda. So, for soda, I'm going to say Diet Right. Do you remember Diet Right?
I do remember Diet Right. It's just a bad soda. Like,
it's
forget the aspartame.
Horrible.
It's just, like, not a good soda.
No.
Let's
no.
just start there. It's gross.
And then there was a phase where Diet Right was sweetened with Splenda, and then it was, like, foamier or something.
There also, at some point, was a Diet Coke with Splenda.
There was. It also
it
had
It was
a
during an era
texture.
When people were like, Splenda's okay for you, and we're like,
that
is it
always happens. People, like, recreate something
it's
with
like
a
margarine.
New name.
Margarine's better than butter. Wait, no, it's not. It's just chemicals being shot out of metal. Okay. Right. Like, who's to say?
Exactly. So I think the Diet Right was the worst. And then also, this is just artificial sweetener, but, like, do you remember sugar-free Reese cups? Like, when we worked at a grocery store, they had them in the bulk candy. And
I
ate them
this.
Sometimes, but they were just awful.
I just, like, if I were eating a Reese cup, I would eat a Reese cup. And I will say...
it's for people with diabetes, I think.
I'm sure that it is. That's who sugar-free candy is essentially
usually.
Invented for, is diabetics. Shout out to all my diabetic homies. Yeah, usually it is. And I'll say as, like, somebody who is, like, my preferred candy is, like, I swing towards gummies. But my favorite chocolate candy is a Reese cup, and I just, like, don't want to eat any kind of adulterated form of that. Like, I want the pure.
Yeah, I don't want to – I would rather have, like, one regular Reese cup than, like – 20 sugar-free Reese cups.
Yeah, I agree. I full-heartedly agree.
Always.
It's also probably better for you.
It is, and we'll talk about that. But
listen, we'll get into it.
We will. So those are my feelings on diet sodas.
Okay.
I haven't drank any in, like, a long time. Once I, like, in my earlier 20s when I got ulcerative colitis, I gave up artificial sweetener, and I don't know how much of my, like, recovery was, like, helped by that, because you can't know, but I feel a lot better.
It wasn't
better.
A controlled experiment. You eliminated a lot of things. Who's to say what was the real thing, or if it was just the whole thing?
Right, right. I will say that artificial sweetener is the only thing that I have not reintroduced, I have, like, aside from a few blips of discomfort, like, I haven't had any major issues,
But, sure. Aside from my occasional hangover Diet Coke, I really don't drink it.
Yeah, yeah. And I do, like, there have been, like, a couple times where I've had one, but I find that, like, now that I don't drink it all the time.
It doesn't taste as good.
It kind of tastes like poison. It's like when I drink sugar-free Red Bull that I used to love. Like, now it just tastes like poison.
It sugar-free Red Bull always tasted like poison.
But then you start to like it.
Yeah.
That's like cigarettes. I mean,
addictive qualities, I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so let's dive into, like, little bit of just like brief history on the creation of artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, I want to get into this because I also have feelings on like certain artificial sweeteners, like in terms of like coffee shop vibes, but also like cooking with and like the different brands. Like, I want to talk about this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So the first artificial sweetener to go on the market was saccharin. And saccharin,
okay,
you would know like on the table as like the pink sweet and low packets in your sugar caddy.
Yeah. My mom still likes a pink pack with her iced tea, like a lady.
Like a lady. Mm-hmm. So saccharin was first discovered by a chemist named Konstantin Fahlberg.
And it arguably tastes the least like regular sugar. Let's just throw that out there first.
I will say yes, agree.
Yeah.
he discovered it in 1897.
Oh, wow. Older than I thought.
It didn't hit the market until World War I when, or like in a mainstream
because
way.
Because sugar rations?
Exactly. Yes. They're running out of sugar.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I know.
This makes sense because there's so much like in fashion, but also in food that truly
necessity.
Is a product and like a result of like military action and how people were like M&Ms were a war invention because
they didn't
chocolate
melt for soldiers.
Yeah, that's exactly why. Chocolate is a good quick way to get like a little energy, a little sugar, a little carb hit, whatever.
And
they
caffeine.
Started candy coating them so that they wouldn't melt. And it was for the army.
Amazing.
So listen, like warfare, I'm not a big fan of,
no.
But some kind of cute inventions have come out of it. And it
some
makes perfect sense to me. Listen, M&M's, cute invention, right? Am I right? So cute. But this makes sense to me that this would happen. Like sugar rations.
Yeah,
of course.
Totally.
They're like, what are we going to sell people instead? It's like the substitutes for certain textiles and for rubber that came out again because of military rations.
Yes.
On board. Makes sense.
And then eventually the substitute of women working in the ammunition factories because all the men were drafted.
Listen, gender labor substitutes. That's a whole nother episode.
I'm not going to go there now. Anyway, so this guy, Konstantin, he was not actually trying to make sugar. He made it, or a sweetener. He made it by accident.
That's super interesting.
And actually aspartame, which we'll talk about in a second, also was discovered by accident.
This surprises me. I would have thought it was very intentional. So tell me more.
Just like strange byproducts. Konstantin was working at Johns Hopkins on coal tar derivatives. I'm not sure what for.
Sure.
But that was
okay.
What he was fucking with. And he went home one day from his lab and he was like eating a sandwich and he realized that like the bread tasted sweet and he was like, that's weird. And then he like licked his hand and discovered that like both of his hands were like highly sweet. And so
I just want to start here with, this is like not safe laboratory practices.
Well,
like
get
why
ready.
Are you covered in the chemicals that you were working with and then you're like, I'll lick it. This is like
I'll
the women working with mercury
my hands.
And like who are like, let's use it to paint our teeth. Like it's just reckless.
And because he accidentally discovered a new substance meant that like he didn't really know what he was creating. Anyway, so
it's like he didn't even know what he was licking off of his hands.
Exactly.
Dude could have died. Okay.
So he licks his hands and discovers that, like,
super casual.
Must have been something at the lab. So he races back to the lab where he, I guess, hasn't cleaned up his equipment. And
okay, again, chemists everywhere are like, is this real life?
And he licks all the beakers and flasks and tubes until he finds it.
No, he does. Are you making this up?
I'm not. This is how it was discovered.
Wow, science is reckless.
It's truly reckless.
Oh, I wonder which like beaker this sweet substance came from. I don't know. Let's taste them. Like what? Wow. And,
oh my God.
I can't even fuck with that. This is cray cray. Okay.
So that was how it was discovered. And what it is, some of the components of saccharin, and it sounds basically like it's meth when you look at what's in it. It's sulfur dioxide, chlorine, and ammonia, and a few other things.
Oh, when you throw down, like, harshly what that is, it does make everybody maybe feel a little itchy about whatever their sweet and low consumption is.
It should make you feel just a touch itchy. We'll get into the testing in a moment. So, saccharin was...
Kids, PSA, don't lick your beakers anyway.
Don't! And maybe in 1897, like, he hadn't had proper schooling. Like, I don't know.
Well, they just, like, didn't know. I mean, I like to assume, like, he didn't know how reckless that was because science was in a different state.
Yeah. But,
I mean, this was probably in the era when people were still like, oh, you're sick? Let's put some leeches on you, right?
You're right.
Like, this
you're
is
right.
That time.
Tasting was probably, like, a part of the scientific process. Scientific
it,
method.
It might have
me.
Been part of the scientific method. I don't know if you remember the tea in there. It's super tasting. Ew, sick. Okay.
Okay. So it wasn't used for diet things and like pleasurable consumption rather than wartime stuff until the 60s or 70s. So that's kind of the first time that we see like diet sweet items appear, like something where you want to eat something sweet but like have no calories. So that appears in the form of saccharin, and
this makes sense to me because I feel like diet culture is more
not
of
till
like
then.
A mid 20th century thing.
Everybody was rationing until before that. Yeah,
like people were just trying to eat good in the 20s because it wasn't always an option.
Not an option. Yeah, and then in the 40s again with the war.
Right. That's what I assume. Like, I don't know. I didn't live
there
during that era, but I feel like people were excited to get their hands on good stuff. They weren't like, oh my God, I don't know. I've already had, like, my calorie rations for the day. I'm sorry.
Right.
Diet culture is literally an entire other episode, but L'chaim.
It is. And I'm going to try not to dwell on too much diet culture on this, but there will be some overlap, of course.
Because of course there will be. Yeah.
Yeah. So then moving on to aspartame, which was discovered later. And aspartame is what is in Diet Coke, and it was also hit the market as NutraSweet in the 80s.
Oh, I didn't remember which. This is kind of like the good breakdown that we all need of like, oh, like acetaminophen is Tylenol.
Yes, exactly.
And ibuprofen is Advil. And I'm like, give me all the like generic brand names that I would associate with these chemicals. Got
exactly.
It. NutraSweet, I recall you.
It's okay. Also Equal. So the blue packets of
yes,
sugar.
Yes, Equal, the blue packets on your table, ladies and gentlemen. Aspartame. The pink packets?
Saccharin.
Not the same. Mm-hmm.
So
all right,
aspartame was discovered in 1965. So that was just like shortly after saccharin was kind of starting to take off. But again, it was not invented on purpose. So a chemist named James M. Schlatter or Schlater.
Don't love his last name. Just kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I don't either. He was working on an ulcer medication and...
Oh,
he, I guess, maybe wasn't wearing gloves or something.
The like, recklessness in the laboratories. I cannot.
And James also licked his finger to pick up a piece
didn't.
Of paper.
James. James. Who are these scientists who are like, let me just lick my... What? Okay.
I know. It's bad. Guys. Ugh.
It's not great. I'll tell you that much.
It's not. So he, probably because saccharin was already on the market in a semi-successful new way, he realized like, oh shit, I've like made another one of these and it's a different formula. So he like went through his shit and figured out like what the sweet taste was. And then, like I said, in the 80s, it was finally, like, approved and hit the market as NutraSweet and then was in a variety of other beverages and table sweeteners.
Okay.
After aspartame and saccharin, we just kind of get a wave of, like, the ever-changing, like, Splenda, Truvia, like, all of that shit that is, like, sometimes more plant-based, sometimes not. Like, the main difference on all of those truly, like, just is the branding.
And truly, Splenda had probably the best branding. It was like, it tastes like sugar because it is sugar.
It's altered sugar. So, exactly. So, Splenda is made through, like, a chemical process done to sugar rather than, like, a chemical process done to tar molecules or whatever.
Right.
Or, right. Or ulcer medication. Like, it was... And listen, they started with sugar.
I don't, like, advocate for artificial sweetener consumption, but I do have this one chocolate chip cookie recipe that I make.
Is it with Splenda? Because you can bake with Splenda because the ratio is the same as sugar.
I bake with Splenda in these cookies, and the texture of the cookie itself is, like, so perfect it's when like made aerated? With Splenda. It's, no, it's, I can't even explain it. They're, like, dense, but, like... Oh, my God. But here's the thing. To your point, when you talk about diet sodas and getting flavor cover up, This is the best fucking chocolate chip cookie recipe ever. I make them with Splenda, but I use completely normally sweetened chocolate chips.
Oh.
And so you don't
you
clock.
Get the sugar, yeah.
Yes. And so you're not like, oh, this tastes sweet, but not like sugar because of the chocolate. But using Splenda instead of the sugar, I swear to you, creates a texture unlike any other. And I've made the recipe both ways.
And I will say, just as a clarification on like the differences between sweeteners, that you are able to bake with Splenda because Splenda is the same ounce for ounce sweetness as table sugar, like regular sugar.
Yes, like whereas, it's a 1 cup to 1 cup.
Yes.
Where that's not the same for like sweet and low or equal or
no,
whatever.
Those are like between 200 and 1,000 times sweeter than real sugar. And Splenda is also so arguably sweeter than real sugar, but it does measure the same, so you can bake with it. Anyway, you saying the thing about the chocolate chips... because they provide that little bit of sugar, makes me just quickly reminisce. Do you remember, like, Pepsi 10? That, like, had, like, it was Diet Pepsi, but it had, like, a little sugar in it. So it was, like,
so it was 10 calories.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck does that even mean? But, no, I don't I mean, I kind of recall it, but listen, I'm going to own, again, like, not a Pepsi consumer, so.
Oh, yeah, and Coke never did that. But, like, as a longtime restaurant worker, I will say that, like, people order a half regular, half diet all the time.
Oh, I have seen that go down, yeah.
Yeah, or, like, a Diet Coke with, like, some kind of actually sweet syrup in it.
Ew.
I know, it's gross. Okay,
but
so that those
point, just
are
just get a Coke. What the
just,
fuck?
Okay. Just get a Coke and have one. And if you're worried about being charged for refills, then like don't do it at a restaurant or switch to an iced tea afterward.
Or a water.
Or
a
water.
You know what I mean?
If you're trying to get bang for your buck on those refills, drink one Coke and then be like, "Can I switch to an iced tea without like being charged?" And like that's an annoying question, but just do it for your health.
Do it for your health.
Anyway. Those are like the main sweeteners. I don't know, like I think that they're all bad, but also like the testing that we're about to talk about like is pretty inconclusive, honestly.
Yeah, I want to hear about this because listen, obviously putting a bunch of like fake food in, and I want to call it fake food because I'm like it's not like I don't know, it's just
yeah,
like whatever
food.
Manufactured shit there is, it's fake food. But, like, we all enjoy a Cheeto from time to time, and I truly don't think that consuming anything in moderation is gonna fuck you up. And also, like, consuming a ton of sugar is not good for you either.
No.
Now, consuming a bunch of aspartame in place of consuming a bunch of sugar isn't good because consuming a bunch of anything like that isn't a win, but... How much is there, like, truth behind this is worse for you? Or, like, I feel like in the early aughts when everybody was like, aspartame causes cancer. I'm like, does it?
So that's what I want to talk about is, like, my opinion, which I will talk about later, is, like, very much that, like, aspartame and saccharin and, like, other artificial sweeteners are very bad for you because of the ways that they trick your body and the ways that your body breaks it down into, like, toxic components. However, I am not convinced that it can cause cancer in humans unless you were, like, injected with, like, super massive doses of it.
Totally. And I think, like, the research, like, do I think aspartame and other artificial sweeteners are good for you? No. But, like, I'm not convinced that it causes cancer. Just, no. Like, I'm not convinced when people are, like, standing in front of the microwave causes cancer.
That,
like,
calm down. I don't know.
You're,
again,
like,
again, maybe not cancer, but I think that.
I don't think it's good for you.
I just don't like microwaves. Anyway.
My microwave's currently broken, and it's unplugged, so that's fine.
That's probably for the best. So when it comes to sweeteners, what is the cancer? I'm sorry, I had to do that, and I know that it's a very bad pun.
I'm fine with it.
Thank you.
I'm fine with it.
So like I said, I think that the testing is inconclusive, but what has been done was quite a bit of testing on lab rats and mice. And they were...
As per usual, yeah.
Yeah. They were given super, super high doses in the studies that were, like, trying to figure out if it causes cancer.
Okay.
And saccharin in only one strain of mice caused bladder cancer, but it was only in the male rats and only in one kind. All the other rats and the female rats were okay. And then aspartame, when given to rats in super high dosages, did cause brain tumors, but like the amount that you would have to consume to equal
was wild.
What they were given would be like nearly impossible.
And listen, I am not a scientist and I did not go to med school, but I always found this to be like a helpful...
And we are not nutritionists, sorry. I
no,
just need to put
either.
That out there.
Listen,
this episode.
Talk to your doctor. We don't know shit about shit. But all of that said, the way you're describing it, like, only happening in, like, this one kind of mouse and, like, only the males, da-da-da-da.
Sounds like they're predisposed.
Well, here's the thing. I remember talking about just, like, cancer in general in my high school biology class. Mm-hmm. And so, like, take that with a grain of salt. It was high school biology, but I had a really good high school bio teacher.
Yeah, I feel and like you did.
I feel like we probably talked about this when we were doing, like, our unit on genetics and that kind of thing, but... She was talking about how, yeah, there are things that we hear about and talk about easily being, like, cancer-causing things. And the two things that we were talking about were asbestos and then cigarettes, like smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked about that, she goes, okay, she goes, everybody knows, like, a story or knows somebody personally who's, like, cancer via smoking or, like, an asbestos situation. She goes, but when there's asbestos in a building, she goes, not everyone gets cancer.
Right.
She goes, people do, but not everyone. And she goes, for, like, people who smoke, she goes, smoking is not good for you regardless of whether or not you get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, but we've all heard of the people who got lung cancer because they smoked a shit ton of cigarettes. And she goes, and you also, like, know people who have smoked 2 packs a day for literally decades and have never had cancer. And she goes, you have to be genetically wired in a way that you have, like, the gene to have cancer. And these, what do I want to say, like, stimuli are going to, spark the gene to make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, like,
environmental
that makes
triggers.
Sense. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, you saying that this is causing cancer in some rats, but not all rats. Yeah, that makes sense because smoking causes cancer in humans and not all humans.
Yes.
So I also, there's a part of me that in that same lane with artificial sweeteners and with everything else, that it could have more negative effects on some people than other people.
Absolutely.
And I think what I have a huge problem with in terms of just like, diet culture or like when everybody's like, oh, you shouldn't eat this thing or you shouldn't drink that thing and you should like avoid this. I'm like, truly, everyone's body is really different.
Mm-hmm.
And something that would cause me an extreme amount of irritation wouldn't bother someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like allergies aside, it's like, listen, there are people who can fucking handle dairy and people who can't. And it's all worth noting that bodies are different.
Yes.
Bodies are
absolutely.
Different.
Absolutely. And so, I agree with you on that, in that I don't think artificial sweetener is good for anyone, especially not if
yes.
it can cause these things. It's probably not doing good stuff in
I don't
your
think
body.
You're getting health benefits
no,
from it. You know what I mean?
Not. Like, but it's not, like, I don't think it's as cancer-causing as people like to think that it is. And the FDA used to have, they used to make them put a warning on artificial sweeteners, like certain ones, to say like this is like potentially carcinogenic, has been known to cause cancer in laboratory rats. But by like within the last like 20 years, that was lifted and they don't have to put that on there anymore.
That's so interesting. I actually don't think I was aware that there was ever some kind of warning on it.
Yes. Okay. And actually,
bunch of panic must have ensued there. I mean, come on.
Aspartame is not the one. I believe it's saccharin, is illegal in the UK and most of Europe. Other countries are not into it and like think that it's like a public health hazard and it's a banned substance. But
well, I'm just going to say that's usually the case. Like the US is like, fuck it, let's eat poison.
They are. And I don't want to fall into a conspiracy hole because that is like a topic for a different time or perhaps.
I don't know. I'm kind of open to the hole. Take us at least halfway down.
Okay. So.
I mean, we don't have to, like, say that we're in the backyard digging a hole to China, but I'd like to...
Yeah, give you just, like, a brief rundown.
I'd like to hit some sedimentary rock, you know?
Okay, sure, sure. Okay, so you can do your own extended research on this, and it might be fun. And if you want to talk to me about it, I would love to talk to anyone about this topic.
Because you'd love to talk to anybody about any kind of conspiracy theory.
I really do.
Just saying.
And this was actually like mentioned in an older season of Orange is the New Black, like very briefly, but.
Oh, okay. Shout out.
In I think like the 1980s, Donald Rumsfeld gave like Monsanto like $1 billion or something to like push aspartame to be like ready for approval. I'm not getting all the details right, but there was like a weird payout that happened to get like aspartame like ready and on the market and to like not do rigorous testing on it the way that a lot of people were wanting to. And so
which should spark some sort of concern. Like yes. That is concerning when somebody's like, let's just get this fucking through the channels. Don't really worry about making sure whether it's good or bad. And probably because on some level he thought that the research could come back and not be positive, but it seemed like such a cash cow he didn't want to fuck with it.
Yes. So there is evidence that he had like proof of like neurological disorders and like seizures and things being reported as like results from high aspartame levels in certain like strains of rats or like certain people susceptible, et cetera.
Sure.
But so like from where I'm sitting in like a semi uneducated place as far as like how laws are passed and how the FDA works.
Listen, they don't want you to understand, so most people are not clear on how laws are passed.
Yeah. So from where I'm sitting, it looks like aspartame specifically and like saccharin probably by proxy and other artificial sweeteners were like known poisons essentially to the government, but were profitable to them because like they would be commercially hugely successful. Like Monsanto has like their hands all over the government. And also yes. I think that like healthcare is tied in there where like if you
I was going to say this
people,
is like the pharmaceutical industry.
Exactly. Because it's something like if we all are consuming diet soda all the time and not getting cancer from it, but just being like a little sick in like ways that are hard to pinpoint because it like fucks with like your immune system and stuff. Just like things that you're like, what is this brain fog? Or like, what is this joint pain? Or like, what is this bowel irritability that gets you to be low level sick and be just like in the healthcare system all the time, long term, but alive still. And
I see that as very
connected, but yeah, do your own dive on that.
I mean, I think we would be remiss not to acknowledge and say that, like, yeah, there is shit like that.
Yes, there absolutely is. Unfortunately, like, corporations pretty much run the world, and that's what's happening.
We live in a capitalistic society, so shout out.
So all that to say, artificial sweeteners were marked as, quote, safe for human consumption, but... Just in that vein, I would like to highlight some other things that the FDA has approved as safe for us to consume.
Oh, perfect. I can't wait to hear what else made this list. Tell me everything.
I mean, you'll know all of these, but I just want to draw attention to them. Oxycodone, Percocets, and other opiates. Acicol and sulfasalazine, which were my medications that I used to take for ulcerative colitis. And they didn't really help me with my ulcerative colitis. They do help some people, but the side effects of being on them long term, and I was supposed to be on them for the rest of my life, the side effects long term are kidney and liver failure. So I'm like, why would I? I'm like,
why would
keeping
I
my colon
these?
And trading my kidneys and my liver?
Yeah, then you're just playing like take one organ for another.
Yeah,
and I don't know, like, you don't want to have to trade anything, but I think your kidney and your liver might be the stronger keepsake.
I kind of feel like, yeah.
I'm not a doctor, but,
like,
you know.
I don't want to have a colostomy bag, but, like, you can have a bag replace your colon, but, like, my liver's pretty hard.
Also, like, dialysis is really different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah. But, again, cyclically sick. Like, keeping me in the healthcare system, like, the remedy creates another issue.
Yeah, that's honest.
But also, like, I'm aware that side effects are unavoidable, and sometimes, like, doctors are just doing the best that they can, but I do think there's evil underneath. Anyway, also, something that I think is absurd that we consume is GMO everything with Roundup all over it. Like,
I mean, let's talk about it.
Yeah,
like, just we are eating poison.
Constantly, please wash your fruit. Just do wash your fruit. And we also are, like, it's acceptable for us to consume, quote, small amounts of radioactive material.
Sure.
So I don't love that, but...
And also just, like, this isn't, I don't remember what the percentage is. I think it's, like, 1 or 2%. But, like, in most of the ground spices you buy at the grocery store, it's an acceptable threshold for, like, some percentage of the, to be, like, bugs.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually true. Like, that they just, like, they know that there are going to be bugs in the spices, and they're like, is a threshold that it's like, yeah, you can have like 2% like bugs in your cinnamon. Which, like, listen, it's like of the earth, it's an organic material. But it does make people feel some kind of way when they hear that.
Yes, it does. Anything like that that's like a weird allowable percentage, you're just like, so what crept into this?
Or, like, I mean, if you want to swing to the beauty game, and, like, we cannot stay here for forever. It's truly an entirely other episode. But, like, fragrances are proprietary, so companies don't have to tell you what's in their fragrance, which literally means anything could be in them.
Oh, my God. That's like a, oh, they could do anything they wanted. It's like bioterrorism potential.
I mean, honestly, though, kind of. Like, I'm just saying it's like a, it's a big loophole that anything that has any kind of fragrance in it means they don't have to disclose everything that's in the product.
Huh. Okay. All right.
We can't live there for forever.
We can't, but that does make me slightly uncomfortable, but thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Before we move on to other topics, I do want to talk about, like, the things that I find troubling about artificial sweeteners.
Okay, let's talk about it.
So the things that I find troubling about artificial sweeteners, other than, like, for example, saccharin containing chlorine and ammonia, I find it troubling that our bodies, when we break apart aspartame that we've consumed, one of the byproducts of that is formaldehyde, which is, of course, used to preserve body's tissue. It's like embalming fluid, basically.
Yeah, totally.
So that just makes me kind of generally uncomfortable. There is, like, a lot of research that suggests that artificial sweeteners are neurotoxic, and in people who are already predisposed to seizures, like, can make it much worse. Can also contribute to dementia in older people.
Oh, don't love that.
I don't love that either. And, that information is coming primarily from anecdotal reports. Aspartame contains something called, and this is hard to say, so bear with me.
Okay,
I had practiced this yesterday a lot. Let me see.
God love you.
Aspartame contains phenylalanine. I did it.
You nailed it. I feel good about it.
Thank you. Phenylalanine. And phenylalanine has been found to... yes, be neurotoxic and contribute to seizures, dementia, etc. in humans.
Mm-hmm.
So if aspartame contains that, then why would it not also do those things?
Right, right, right.
So aside from potential neurotoxicity, there is, of course, the conversation about do artificial sweeteners actually cause weight gain rather than weight loss?
People talk about this. And I have a friend who I'm always like, but I drink Diet Coke. But I had a friend who always used to be like, listen, she goes, I've never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke. And I was like, I drink Diet Coke. She goes, well, you're the exception, not the rule. That yeah. She goes, every time you see someone drinking a diet soda. And I was like, well, that's pretty judgy. I'm just going to, like, that's a pretty judgy thing to say. But I was like, yeah, switching from, like, regular to, like, a diet soda is not, like, a health move. I don't know. Could it cause weight gain? I have no idea.
So what happens when you drink diet soda is, like, your mouth tastes sweet. And so, like, your body releases, like, all of the chemicals to, like, break down a sweet thing. So
right.
Your stomach releases its hormones and its shit, and you're like, you have like insulin in your bloodstream. So like your body wants sugar, and what it gets, it can't use. And so it breaks the aspartame apart into like those weird, potentially poisonous compounds and passes them through. Mm-hmm. But your body's then left in a state of like essentially being teased really bad. And so people have increased appetite and an increased ability to like consume larger amounts of food and crave sweet and like carbohydrate foods if they're consuming artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, and like carbs in general, or like sugars, but you know, carbs are sugars, but they do make you hungry. Like everybody knows that thing that you like eat a bunch of carbs and then like all of a sudden you're hungry again.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, on top of that, like, if you're drinking a Diet Coke, you're getting, like, more craving. Like, you're actually, like, if you were full and then drank a Diet Coke, there's, like, a very good chance that you would then be able to, like, eat another slice of pizza.
Oh, maybe this is why my Diet Coke thing, like, helps me hangover recover, because maybe it brings my appetite back a little bit. Oh, my God.
I bet it does. It gets you ready to eat something, probably.
Huh. Shout out to Diet Coke, a weird witch tonic for overconsumption of gin. Anyway.
Yeah, so if you're trying to stimulate your appetite, I guess maybe reach for a Diet Coke.
Maybe. Huh. I mean, I can't advise
this. I never thought of that
this,
as a positive, but yeah.
Well, just maybe I'm like, maybe that's why it's a tonic for me in certain, and I mean, same, I say hangover, but also like when I have the stomach flu or like just like anytime I've like, if I have a migraine,
too,
I usually
probably. And the caffeine.
Well, but you know, I want to say this. I mean, maybe the caffeine for sure, but as somebody who's like a heavy consumer of seltzer, be it like LaCroix or like whatever out of whoever's Soda Stream or like a Topo Chico, like it doesn't matter. I play the whole field. I don't find that satiating when I have, like, a migraine or the flu or a hangover. I truly want a Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm. I do
so
not, but I
know it's not just
you
the bubbles. It's not just the bubbles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't ever want that, but that's okay.
To each their own.
So there have been no studies that have shown any kind of artificial sweetener to assist in weight loss. And actually what happened in most
of
the studies...
Well, that makes sense to me, like that wouldn't help you. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah. So there were two groups of rats that were given the same diet that had, like, a moderate level of sugar, like regular sugar in it.
And, okay, not an excessive amount of sugar, just, like, moderate sugar.
Yeah. And one group was given artificial sweetener in addition to their diet. And okay. The other group just didn't have the artificial sweetener. So, like, everything is the same, except one group is also getting fake sugar. The group of rats with the fake sugar gained double the weight over the study that the non-artificial group did.
That's crazy, but doesn't shock me.
I know, me too. But in that case, they weren't even eating any more than the other rats. They were eating the same amount, so that's not even just a hunger stimulation. That's... like the way that your body
just
is
how
storing
your body's
it.
Processing and storing it. Yeah, and like, listen, I'm not a biologist or a doctor or a scientist or any of it. So I know we fucking test everything on rats. And
I know, poor guys.
I mean, truly.
Shout out to rats. Thank you.
Shout out to rats, yo. Shout out to rats. but that said, I know like some of that is because of like assumptions of intelligence and like cruelty, etc., etc. But I'm like, how much like are rats' bodies like ours? Like, I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah, they are mammals, But outside of that, I'm not really sure.
Exactly. I'm like, yeah, we should test on rats instead of lizards if we're trying to compare to humans. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ugh. Like,
that's funny.
But I'm like, how much can... Right. I'm just like, how much can all the results like translate? And I don't know, but I'm sure there's science behind this because people have been continuing to test on rats. So
I don't know. Maybe their like metabolisms are similar to ours. I feel like every like diet study I've read always cites like lab rats.
Well, it's always, but even it's psychological studies too.
Oh, you're right. It's everything. And it's, yeah. And it's shampoos and shit. It's everything.
It's addiction. It's, yeah, it's fucking all of it. So I have questions.
Yeah. We are different than them. Anyway, it did cause the rats to gain quite a bit of weight. So who knows about humans?
Really interesting.
Yeah. But anecdotally, working in a restaurant, I would say that that does not surprise me.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think it's good for you.
No, I don't either. But in the last 10 years, attitudes toward diet sodas, sweeteners, et cetera,
have gotten pretty negative. It is
really
not
changed.
The late 90s anymore.
It is not.
It was like the land of a diet cola, you know?
I had a very strange experience when I went to the Southern California salad chain Tender Greens in 2010. And,
okay, say more.
When I was given my salad at the end of the line, because it's kind of like Chipotle style.
Got it.
When they asked if I wanted a beverage, I asked for a Diet Coke. And this girl looked at me like I had asked her for, like, heroin or something.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, we don't carry Diet Coke. You can have, a tea or, like, it was all, like, natural beverages. And
sure.
At the time, I thought that was really fucking stupid, and I was offended. And I felt dumb about it. But now...
You were publicly shamed, which is like
I was publicly shamed.
You were publicly shamed. It's fine. We've all been publicly shamed.
But I was like, this is a salad place. Why don't they have Diet Coke? And it's because I didn't at the time really understand yet about like respecting my body with the things that I put into it.
Listen, it was California, the land of where they beat everybody else to the punch.
Yeah.
Sorry, middle America.
Sorry. So figured out that I, you know, maybe should also refrain from having 12 Diet Cokes a day and eventually did.
I mean, I'm proud. I remember one time being at the dock and we were just, I suffer from headaches and from time to time and some years it's better than others. But mm-hmm. One of the things we were talking about, she asked me about my caffeine consumption and in that time period, and this is years ago, I was like in high school,
yeah.
But how are we trying to quantify this? Like, and I really had to think about how much caffeine I was consuming. And at the time, a lot of it was coming from Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm, me too. And I think it was, I read like 12 Diet Cokes has like the full amount of caffeine that a human is supposed to have in a day.
I don't think I've ever had 12 in a day.
Really? I think I have.
I think I probably capped out at like 5 or 6, though.
I have an issue with quantity of consumables sometimes, though.
Who, you?
Self-control. Anyway, so before we move on to fake fats, which will be a slightly shorter segment, I did want to let you know that Bill Clinton put a Diet Coke into his presidential time capsule. I thought you might appreciate that.
Oh, I mean, it feels very much a sign of the times was Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah. His presidency, like, that probably needs to be in there for that time.
I mean, yeah, Diet Coke was probably at its peak throughout the Clinton years.
Indeed. Indeed, I think it was.
Wow. Shout out, you know? Do it.
Shout out.
My sister and I really talked heavily about this. So my sister went to undergrad at Marquette and I went to undergrad at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And our timeline was very funny in that Tom Crean was the head coach of basketball during the beautiful Dwayne Wade years at Marquette while my sister was there. We're 4 years apart and he switched to Indiana like for my freshman year and she was done with school. So we both had Tom Crean as like the basketball coach.
Oh, that's funny.
Whole funny story. But all the time he was notorious at Marquette for drinking, like he'd always have a can of Diet Pepsi like on the bench. He was always drinking Diet Pepsi during the games.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was switching schools and that was announced, my sister and I were like, what's he going to do because Indiana's a Coke school? Marquette is a Pepsi school, but Indiana's contract is with Coke. What will Tom Crean drink?
What did he drink?
I think Diet Coke initially, but then he, like, switched to, like, some sort of weird energy drink that he was, like, putting, either it was, like a liquid or it was, like, a powder that he was adding to water and water bottles that made it look like he was drinking urine. Oh. And at one point, he addressed what he was drinking in a press conference because I think people were so, what the fuck is he drinking? It was really funny. That's neither here nor there. But I was like, listen, people have a loyalty to their sodas. There are loyalties.
And also, Pepsi and Coke both own so many other things and, like, are in bed with other corporations.
Oh, yeah. Coke and Frito-Lay. Shout out. No, Pepsi and Frito-Lay. I lied.
Pepsi and Frito. Pepsi and Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell.
Also,
and
Pepsi
Pizza Hut.
And Quaker Oats, I think.
What?
Frito, Quaker, and Pepsi. It's all the same. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
I know
and
that
Frito
they own Frito.
Is Frito-Lay, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lay's is in there, too.
That's Pepsi, dude.
Fuck. It's everything.
It's everything. Sometimes you're eating candy and you're like, wait, who owns this?
Yeah.
It's a journey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. So before we move on, I wanted to ask, did you ever eat or do you remember the sugar-free Jelly Belly jelly beans?
I do remember them. I'm sure that I consumed some version of them or another because I was a very large fan of Jelly Bellies.
Yeah, we used to eat those together in a Harry Potter way.
Exactly. Listen, Bernie Bot's Jelly Belly was the best we could get. It was close. It was before I was consuming Jelly Belly as Bertie Bott's before Jelly Belly realized they needed to brand themselves as Bertie Bott's.
Exactly. Your mom used to get them for us for that reason.
Mm. Jelly beans. But I, listen, I was a youngster. I was not worried about buying the sugar-free version, so.
So on a road trip one time, we stopped for gas and snacks, and it was like my.
As you do. Shout out road trip episode. Shout out your gas station snacks. Doing a lot of shouting out this episode, and I kind of love it.
You sure are. But it was just my mom and my dad and I was, I don't know, like 9 or 10 or something.
Yeah.
And they got like a big bag of sugar-free jelly beans when we stopped at the gas station.
That's a fun gas station snack, a big bag of jelly beans.
It is. And they were like the Jelly Bellies, so they're like all different weird flavors and stuff. And so that was like entertaining in the car. And I got my own snack because I was a child. And I didn't want that. I didn't want sugar-free jelly beans.
No, you're like, bring on something gnarly. Also, where's my surge? I thought this was vacation.
I probably did get a surge. I used to be allowed to have surge on vacation only.
Oh. I like it when the rules change for vacation. It's kind of fun.
It is fun. So my parents, like, by the time we got to our destination, were both like doubled over in like horrible gastrointestinal distress. Like,
oh no.
I don't know if you've ever like taken a stimulant laxative, but like what they described sounds like essentially the same experience.
Oh my god, that sounds terrible.
It lasted like 3 days.
Oh my god.
And they couldn't figure out what it was at first, but like I wasn't sick, and so it was like,
what did they have that you didn't? It was the fucking jelly beans.
Yes. And we didn't know that until like toward the end of the trip while we were still there. I can't remember who, but like one of them like ate another handful of the jelly beans, and then when we were out later, like had like diarrhea. And
oh my god. Yeah.
And it wasn't as bad as before, but it's because it was just a handful. And so then we discovered like, oh my god, these jelly beans are like fucking you up.
Oh my god, what a reckoning.
Yeah. So I have never eaten those, and I'm not sure if there's...
You were like, I've been warned.
I have. And that, I don't know, that must be from, I guess, the artificial sweetener, if it's, like, just maybe because jelly beans are essentially just sugar. It's, like, maybe such
a high... They basically are. It's, like, sugar and gelatin.
Yeah, so I don't know why that would make you shit so awfully, and, like, a Diet Coke does not.
Mm.
But speaking of fake foods that make you shit yourself.
Yeah, bring it on.
Let's shift gears and talk about the world of Olestra, which you may remember as Olean.
I remember Olestra specifically because it was used in these, I don't know if they were 100% fat-free or it was really low fat. I think they were fat-free, though, and it was Olestra was the substitute of Ruffles. And there was, like, original Ruffles, but they were made with Olestra. Mm-hmm. And my dad, who can't consume a bunch of fat because he had a stroke several years ago, so he, like, really avoids fat, was totally about these because he's like, oh, goddamn, I can eat a potato chip.
Yeah,
and
finally.
Also, my dad is a chemist. So my dad is probably the least disturbed by putting chemicals in his body because my dad's like, everything is chemicals. This is the earth. He's the guy also when people call produce organic, like when that became like the initial fad, my dad's like, that's bullshit. Everything's made of carbon. Everything's organic. And
but
I, and
pesticides
he goes, this is just some,
are not.
Everything is made of carbon.
We'll talk about this later. Go on.
Listen, everything's made of carbon. It's not a problem that we wanted to avoid pesticides. He just had an issue with the syntax.
I know. I've had teachers do the same thing. And I'm like, also in the way that a tomato is technically a fruit, but we will classify it as a vegetable. Let's move on, you know?
Right. Let's just move on. But he's, all I'm saying is that he's the kind of person who like doesn't question like a chemical substitute.
Yeah.
Because he's like,
yeah,
everything's chemicals.
Right.
I believe in chemicals. So he was like a big fan of the Ruffles made with Olestra, but spoiler alert, they don't make those anymore. So
they don't. They do, however, make light Lay's with Olestra, but it's rebranded as a different name, and they're just called light Lay's. So if Glenn wants to hit those, they do still exist.
Interesting.
We are Cincinnati natives,
yes,
and Olestra was discovered at P&G, which is here, so that's fun.
Oh, cool. I actually didn't know that.
So the intention when they made it, much like aspartame and saccharin, was not to create a calorie-free food. It was to,
I love all these accidental discoveries. That's
everything.
Crazy to me.
Everything.
Huh.
So what they were trying to do was they were trying to make a baby formula for premature babies that could get like fat to absorb correctly, because I guess premature babies, like how their gut is, they have a really hard time with formula, and so they're so they're trying to encase like the fat molecules in other things. I'm not a scientist,
right, but like babies would absorb the preemies that maybe they were having trouble absorbing because of just the stage in development that they were
correct
in.
Correct.
Huh. So interesting.
So what they created is actually kind of the opposite of what they were trying to do. And by encasing the fat molecule in other molecules,
right,
or peptides, I guess, it became too large for any human to absorb. So what you have is like this giant like fat oil molecule that tastes, feels, and behaves like a fat, but your body can't break it down at all because it's just way too big.
Whoa.
Yes. And so in testing, when they were like giving it to babies, or giving it to probably animals to give to babies, they discovered that when Olestra is consumed, it goes through the body unmetabolized, but it does also grab cholesterol. Because the molecule like wants to attach to other fatty things, and so it picks up cholesterol pieces on its way out. And like,
so if anything, people are viewing this and they're like, it's fat that you're not absorbing that also is pulling bad shit out of you. This almost feels like how I like to imagine it is when I drink charcoal, which I do.
I thought of that.
but like, wow, I'm sure when this was happening, people were like, oh my God, we're onto something.
Yes. So it then was tested as a cholesterol medication. But the issue with it... Exactly, which genius. I mean, truly.
That makes a ton of sense.
So the issue with it as a cholesterol medication was that, yes, it grabs cholesterol and yanks it out, but it also grabs other nutrients. So it's going through your body.
Okay, it's depleting you of a lot of things.
Yes,
sure.
And depleting you of a lot of things. And also... excess consumption, whatever that means, of Olestra can cause your body to not metabolize fats at all. So if you're having like a high Olestra diet and your body becomes accustomed to like looking at that molecule shape and being like, nope, we just passed this, then it also doesn't break down regular fats correctly. But because they're regular fats and they can be absorbed, your body just switches over to storing them. So in testing and anecdotal reports, people who consumed a lot of Olestra then experienced a lot of weight gain because the fat that they were consuming, even if it was a small amount in their diet, was all being stored by their bodies because the Olestra had affected the way that they metabolize fats.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So do you remember, like,
so almost in, like, some sort of weird way that, like, you couldn't really do Olestra, like, if this is the vacuum that it lives in without, like, any other issues, if you were consuming only Olestra and not any other kind of fat, which, again, is not realistic, like, in theory, could be fine.
It could. It could. I don't know what else it would pull out of you. Well, you'd be, like, depleted of, like, omega-3s and stuff, but...
I mean, that doesn't seem sustainable.
Yeah, but, it's not sustainable. but on that note, like, since we're talking about, like, the mechanism of Olestra, it can be used and more recently has been used as... and like a remedy for certain kinds of chemical poisoning because it does like grab onto things as it goes through your body. And so like in like chemical spills, sometimes it's used as like a way to bring down like toxicity in people's bodies. I thought that was interesting. Okay. So
That pretty makes sense. I mean, people also use charcoal for that. It's like the first thing they'd pump you with like in the hospital if they didn't know what you OD'd on.
Yep. Yep. And it's the thing that you were drinking when we recorded together in Chicago. Love those black lips.
I'm just always trying to get just a little bit of charcoal. I don't know.
So similar to the jelly bean experience, my family also had, while not a road trip experience, and luckily at home experience with Olestra.
I mean, what you can hope for is that if you're going to have a gastrointestinal quote-unquote experience, you can hope that you're at home.
Please, God, let it be at home.
Not on a road trip, not on the way to the movies, not on a city train. Bus.
Yeah.
Not at your job. Like, no. Come on now.
So it was when fat-free Pringles came out, which did contain Olean, which is the market name for Olestra.
I do remember this, yes.
And also Wow Doritos and potato chips. I don't know if you remember those.
Oh, I do, but I hadn't thought about them in a while.
My family, because... they love a diet shortcut. Got like Sam's Club bags of this shit. And
Why not?
And we like watched a movie and everybody just like probably ate nearly a full bag of potato chips. Because we were like, all right. And we're like drinking our diet right at the same time.
Listen, sometimes that's great though. Like that's a happy memory until probably later, it sounds like.
It was... so, like, it tastes so good. Like, Olestra really is an incredible substance, despite, like, what happens later.
Listen, I ate a lot of those fat-free Ruffles, and, like, they were great chips.
It's so good. And, like, something about, like, the crunch and the, like, oily residue.
It's almost, like, crisper. It's almost, like, between, like, a regular chip and a kettle chip. It's, like, the middle ground.
It is. Mm. I kind of hate that I still think they're good. Anyway, they do taste good. So we then all had pretty bad diarrhea. I, again, had the least bad experience of everyone, I think partially because I had eaten less of the chips and partially because I was a young person. We looked it up afterward and found that other people on the internet had also experienced horrible cramping, diarrhea, and oily anal secretions from consuming these same potato chips.
Anal leakage. Hello.
Anal leakage is a very real problem with this.
Yes. Yes.
Did you ever have any issues from eating those?
No, but I never, like, I don't ever feel like I binged them. Like, I don't ever think I ate a quantity that would...
that seems right.
...have led me down this path.
That sounds more like something we would have done. Yeah. It does.
All right.
So I would like to perhaps read someone's experience that I found from, what is the date here? Posted in 2006. So that's pretty late in the game, but
I feel like that's late in the Olestra game. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I do. So This is on Craigslist, actually. This was posted as just like a PSA on Craigslist and is now...
Shut up. What a weird host choice.
I know.
Love it.
And it's now classified on a page called The Best of Craigslist with like all of the most favorite posts from all time.
Honestly, I can't wait. And also, I didn't know there was a Best of Craigslist, but I know what I'll be doing later.
I didn't either until now. So this is a Craigslist post on fat-free Pringles. It starts...
Shout out.
Do not eat fat-free Pringles potato chips. They will grease your ass.
Oh.
That's the title. Then it says...
Oh, that's the title.
Yeah.
I haven't even gotten to the good part yet.
Here we go. Don't even fucking say a word. I like potato chips and can't eat them very much or I'll get fat. I tried out these Pringles fat-free chips because they were super low-cal. Barbecue flavor. The fuck. The can said they had only 70 calories per serving, which meant the whole can had only 490 calories total inside. I could munch through a can in a day with my lunch and dinner, etc. So I got several cans and began enjoying one each day for the past 4 days. But what they don't fucking tell you... is that the primary ingredient is something called Olean, which I have since learned is Latin for unwashable and indestructible ass grease.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, I'm not even kidding. So today, while I'm standing in the living room debating whether or not laundry or dishes will get done first, I get the urge to fart. I live alone. So sweet. I let the honk loose and it's wrong. Something just sounded wrong. I knew.
I let the honk loose is now how I'd like to refer to farting.
I know my own wind, and I have never farted a sound that sounded like a fart wrapped in a pillow.
Wait, what?
Oh, yes, something was very wrong. I had just shat myself, but this evil Olean makes shitting yourself sound almost like a regular art. If I had not been particularly attentive, it could have easily gone unnoticed. I'm telling
you. Wait, how do you unnotice sharding?
Well, I think he'll get to it. I don't know why I think this is a man. It could be a woman.
Could be anyone.
That's how utterly covert and evil this Olean stuff is. What the fuck? If I'd gone out to hang out with friends or gone for a drive, what then? So I walk carefully to the bathroom and disrobe. Before I even sit on the toilet, I wad paper carefully and wipe from the front. Sure enough, it was light brown and had the texture of soft spackle. You fucking Pringle bastards. I sat down. Okay, this part is too graphic, but... then describes some kind of marshmallow bowel situation.
Ew, sick. Yeah, skip that. Jump ahead.
We're fine. Yeah. Okay. On to the next
part. If you're eating your lunch, we're not trying to trigger you.
No, I'm sorry about that. Do take just a moment away from your food. The problem arose when I tried to wipe a whole fucking roll of TP and I could not get it all off me. So I jumped in the shower. Yes, the shower. I stood, water pouring down, cheeks spread, using my own hands to make certain it's clean. That was when I discovered, after using my hand to wipe myself, before I soaped the area, my hand came back covered in some sort of transparent grease. It was so fucking foul. The grease made water bead off my hand. It was tacky, too, and very difficult to manage.
Whoa. This is truly, they're consuming a shit ton of Olean, and it's like, just run a thing out of them, because as we learned, your body doesn't metabolize this shit.
No, so you have a whole Pringles can worth of oil just literally sliding out of your ass.
Oh my God. And if you're not eating like a fibrous diet, this is like...
This person does need to up their fiber intake, I think.
I mean, this person's thrilled to eat a single can of Pringles every day, so like that's
with the lunch and dinner, which we don't know what that is.
We don't know what it is.
Whew. I'm just glad that I never really went to town on those. Or that I was like, if they had come out a little bit later, like if I had been like 18 and like a freshman in college when those came out, it would have been issues for me, I think.
I'm sure that it was for some people, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you were in college in 99, I'm sorry.
So sorry.
So sorry. So similar to aspartame, like I mentioned, Elestra also does cause like metabolism issues. It causes, according to most studies, and this people would probably try to argue the other way, but does cause weight gain, I think, for the same reasons as aspartame, where it kind of like
your body is like, what is this mystery?
It's what is this? And it tinkers with like how your body recognizes other fats and sugars and what it does with them. So similar to the aspartame studies, there was also, unfortunately, a rat study done with Elestra, where one group was given a regular diet of like a moderate amount of fat, and the other group was given the same diet but added Olene or Elestra to it. And the group who was given the Elestra gained weight over time, whereas the control group did not.
Interesting. Interesting.
So same deal. I don't know. And like I said, if you want to still eat Elestra, you can, in the form of light Lay's potato chips.
I was going to say, but it's not, there was a moment in time, kind of like the Splenda craze, where everybody was putting it in fucking everything.
Everything.
And that has really been dialed back. Like, nobody's really using it anymore. It doesn't seem that way to me. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think that it is. And, like, P&G tried to do a rebrand with it and, like, name it other things. But it just never could, like, gain traction again in the same way. But, like, of course it couldn't. Sorry.
Yeah, if it's causing anal leakage, like, literally, goodbye.
Anal leakage.
Gross. Two words I don't want to hear used together, you know?
No, never, never together. But there is a new artificial fat on the horizon. Have you heard of this? Oh.
Not that I'm aware of. What's it called?
It is called Epigee.
I don't think I know this one.
It is, will be sold or can be sold in, like, jars that essentially look like coconut oil. It's just, like, a big thing of oil. And it is...
kind of Crisco-esque?
Crisco-esque. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And it's going to roll out in 2020. And basically, it's a fat replacement that they say doesn't cause, like, the distress that Elestra did because the molecule is different. But I couldn't find anything about, like, what the actual science of it is, like, how it's different.
Okay.
But the plan with it is...
they probably don't want to tell you if it's not out yet. And, like, is this patent pending? Who's to say?
You know? I'm not sure. Yeah. Yeah. But they should be able to make, like, everything from, like, donuts to tortilla chips, frosting, ice cream. Pretty much anything that has a high fat content could be made with Epigee instead of oil or cream. And it's not calorie free, which I don't know, maybe that makes it a little different, but it is like per what would normally be 10 grams of fat from like actual fat or oil is 0.7 grams of fat and only one calorie from the Epigee. So it's not totally fat-free, but it's much lighter. And so I have some questions about that. Like, maybe there's hope there. But I still think whenever you're fucking with, like, trying to change the way something is naturally, it just isn't... it's probably not going to work that good. I don't know.
Yeah, it does leave me with questions. Like, it certainly leaves me with questions.
Yes, I have many, many questions. And maybe it's in my head, but honestly, I feel like I feel a lot better after, like, not trying to, like, eat diet shit. And also, like, thank God the culture around that has changed a little bit. And people are, like, the fads are to do, like, Whole 30 rather than, like, to only eat grapefruit or, like, have fat-free dairy products exclusively.
Yeah, I do think, like, the pendulum is swinging in a more positive way. I still think there are issues with, like, diet culture in general.
Oh, but there always will be.
Yeah, 100%. But I think that, to your point, like, yeah, I think people have maybe a better understanding of maybe what's good for you. Probably just because we tried out a bunch of stuff that we thought would be better and then wasn't.
That's fair. And we're probably a little bit disillusioned with, like, chemical foods at this point.
I hope.
I mean, I hope so, too.
In some places not. And, like, oh, who's
to
say?
I do love a Cheeto, though.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I was going to say I love, though, being in the back of the room just with my hand and, like, a bag of crunchy Cheetos. Like,
yeah, ugh. And licking that MSG dust that I call cheat off of my fingers.
It's so good.
It's so, I love a Cheeto. Fucking good.
Yeah, and, like, what is a Cheeto? It's not real food. Like, what? Nothing is happening.
Just, like, puffed GMO corn with, like, some MSG dust, cheese flavoring. That would be my guess.
I love it. I love them. Like, yes.
But the natural Cheetos, I don't know what that could mean, but I love natural white cheddar Cheetos.
I know you love those. I don't know why they're calling them natural. But, like, what is natural about a Cheeto? These didn't grow on a tree. Like,
a Cheeto tree. Aw. I want to write a story about a Cheeto tree.
I would come to your dramatic reading, and I would pose as the tree behind you in some sort of tree costume that I had, like, adhered Cheetos to.
Oh. That sounds like a project we would have done in elementary school.
I would move in like a slow kind of performative way.
You would. I can picture that exactly.
As the stanzas change. And I would have like used some sort of like Party City acquired like orange hairspray.
You
like,
would have.
Really, yeah. Oh,
and we would have like probably body painted you a little too.
This absolutely sounds like something we would have done in high school. Like 100%.
We did projects like this before we went to different schools.
Listen, if you didn't know us in high school, we did weird shit like this, and I'm kind of open to it. So, me too. Listen, shout out to the Cheeto tree.
Aw. All right. Well, there is no Cheeto tree. But do you have any questions or concerns about artificial sweeteners or fats?
I mean, I guess just where do you land? Like, do you think we'll do this perpetually, that we'll try and make things that aren't things things? Like, I don't know. Do we think that it's evil or good? I don't know. Like, are we using, is it truly for the right reasons that people are trying to figure out a healthier way to do things? Or are people just looking for the next big thing to market?
I think both. Because with any product development, there's so many people involved that I think a lot of times, like, the creators or, like, the chemists who are trying to, like, figure out how to make it, like, maybe their intent is in the right place, and maybe it's yes to like help people with diabetes or like,
or premature babies. Sure.
Exactly. But then of course, like anything that is a business that you sell, like someone has to come in and figure out how to market it and be like, okay, what, like, how does this become profitable? And once you cross into that territory, I think that's where things start to like get much less clear. And so it's all a mixed bag, in my opinion. Like, the intentions are all over the place because there's like a lot of different kinds of people involved in the development and sale of these materials, you know?
As somebody who grew up in the artificial sweetener and the Olestra, like, land, right? Both of us.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear about this other fat that you're talking about coming out, or if you hear about other artificial sweeteners post the Splenda craze and that kind of thing, are you open to trying these things? Or are you like, I don't know, I'm going to chill?
I actually am not open to them. I'm open to, like, alternative sweeteners, like, in the way of, like, using agave instead of simple syrup. But, like, that's because that's just, like, from a cactus. And it's still sugar. It's just, like, lower on the glycemic index. But as far as, like, Truvia and, like, things that are supposed to be like plant-based sweeteners that are zero calorie, like, you still had to do something to the molecule to make my body not process it. So, like, I don't know. I just find that, like, in my more recent years, I would rather have one Diet Coke, or sorry, have one regular Coke than 12 Diet Cokes, even though I am a little afraid of corn syrup, but that's a whole other thing.
Corn syrup's truly another episode.
It is. But yeah, no, I will not try Epigee, and I will not try artificial sweeteners. There's no way for there to be like long-term studies of new products anyway, so I'm gonna just stay away from it.
I'll still make those weird Splenda chocolate chip cookies from time to time.
And it's I'll eat a couple.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. Everything in moderation.
Like, is heat okay, though, on Splenda? I mean, I guess it must be because they say you can bake with it.
Yeah, well, you can bake with it.
All right, so in true Why Are You Like This fashion, we have to wrap this with a verbal game. So cue the vibraphone.
Cue it.
Tonight, today, whatever, is a would you rather.
Okay.
So, would you rather have a life where you, for health reasons, cannot consume any sugar or fat, so like your culinary experiences will be incredibly limited, but you will have a nice long healthy life with few issues, or the alternative is you can have as much fat and as much sugar as you want with no health or vanity concerns at all. Your body will stay in perfect condition, but you can just really go to town on whatever you want. but okay. you will at like age 60 have like horribly failing health.
Oh, you sold that very misleadingly, like that you were like, everything's going to be fine. And then you're like, but then it won't be. I was like, yeah, then I think I just like I ditched the sugar and the fat. I think that sounds really complicated. And I know it would make restaurants tough, but like 60 is young. I don't want to have horribly failing health at 60.
No, neither do I.
Yeah, no. I mean,
think about, yes, how hard it would be to dine out, though. You'd have dining to like be out the person with dietary that restrictions like that. Over.
It's tough. It's truly tough. I think.
God, and I see people do that a lot.
I like reap a lot of pleasure from trying new places to eat, etc. But if I would have horribly failing health at 60, no contest.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be nice to be able to eat like anything under the sun with no consequences in any portion until a certain time.
I don't stress too much about what I eat now, to be honest.
I don't really either, honestly, except that, like, because of my ulcerative colitis, I have to be careful about, like,
sure,
fats and cheeses and some things. Alcohols. But I would continue to be careful and live a long, healthy life rather than a short, healthy life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think that, like, I don't know that I would do this, but I feel like you would start like recipe creating in a way.
I have no fear about my ability to recipe hack for dietary restrictions.
You've done it for your dad a lot, I feel like.
Sure. I feel like I do it for my dairy-free friends. I do it for people who I like swing the vegan vegetarian way. I can host whoever and I'm like down to figure it out. And if anything, it's a kind of a fun challenge. That said, I don't stress about like my ability to figure it out. It would be the social component of going to eat at somebody else's place or going out to eat that would be the hardest. And I think is the hardest for anyone who has a dietary restriction.
And sometimes you do just have to bring your Tupperware of your own food in case there's nothing for you. But
and sometimes you have to say, I can't go to that restaurant because they have too many nuts.
You do sometimes.
Like that's just sometimes that's just how it's it is. The nature of the beast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, this week, if you want to tell us about your experiences with anal leakage or foods that aren't really foods, or if you want to talk to me about the aspartame and GMO corn syrup conspiracy theories, I am here for it. So, Austin,
You just want to admit with everybody that you shit your pants one time.
Also that. Please send those.
Everybody shits their pants. Okay?
We can read the stories anonymously or not if you'd rather us not.
I mean, listen, whatever. I want to hear about when you shit your pants. I think it's a great story.
So where can they find us? Because I never know.
Listen, let us know about your pants shitting stories and all the goodness. As always, you can find us on the internet via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, or on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And good night, good morning, good day. We'll catch you next time.
Good care of your assholes.
Yeah, take care of your, you know, gastrointestinal needs and don't shit, like, in your living room, like, into your hands or pants. But if you do, write about it on Craigslist, so.
Please do. Please do. Good night.
Bye.